For people on Zoom, my battery in my phone is low, so I can't turn the Zoom on, so I can't see who's there. I'm going to assume the usual suspects. Solomon Akute, do you mind saying a prayer?
Sure.
Thanks.
God of our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day that you're giving to us. You were able to take us from our places, those that traveled, those that are still on their way, the children, people that are suffering, and those in their hospital bed, the nurses, the doctors, and everything that you've done for us today. We are here to thank you, even for the food that you gave us, the clothes that we put on ourselves. We thank you for reminding us to come here tonight, to sit around your feet, and to share, to be able to dive into your wisdom. And we ask you to guide us, the teachers that are leading the class into your care, those of us that are listening, help us and guide us. This is what we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. There was one thing we didn't get to on Sunday, and I want to cover that tonight real quick before we get started with the New Testament. Pat asked some applications for us as Levitical priests, and that is the numbering of the Levites. Someone please read Numbers 1, verse 47 through 49, just for time's sake. Numbers 1, 47 through 49.
The Levites, however, were not numbered among them by their father's tribe. For the Lord had spoken to Moses, saying, "Only the tribe of Levi you shall not number, nor shall you take their census among the sons of Israel."
The most of chapter 1 is Moses, or God telling Moses, number the tribes of Israel. And so that's what most of chapter 1 is until this point. God says, don't number the sons of Levi. We learn in chapter 3, because they're the priests, I am their inheritance, etc. Thinking about that idea, if we are Levitical priests, and God did not want them numbered, what might be a spiritual application for us?
Death.
In what way death? But how is not counting the Levites part of death? That's what we're trying to get to.
They had no land, no earthly ties in that sense that normal people did.
That's right.
So there was no need to know their numbers as far as inheritance goes. Okay, so how would that apply to us? Does it apply to us? What were the promises to Abraham?
They could see the number of the sea and the sand in the ocean.
Uh-huh.
His children.
Anybody ever try to count sand on the beach before? Right. So if the Levites weren't numbered, can we really be numbered? Can we really be numbered? Let's put it that way. If that's the promise, and if we assume God is faithful to keep his promises, then what does that mean about God's people on Judgment Day? Or even right now?
They're numbered.
Or they're not numbered. It can't be numbered, at least not by us. An innumerable host in some places called. Patty?
Well, as long as our names are in the book of life, I guess it doesn't matter.
Right. Now, God can name the hairs on our head or count them, right? So this isn't a promise that is beyond God's gift. Like, God can number his people. But we can't number ourselves. I mean, we have the attendance thing. Well, we used to. But is that necessarily a true reflection of God's people, especially all the people who are waiting for Judgment Day in Hades right now?
No, it's not a true reflection.
No, so it's innumerable. So there's that. But then there's this. Someone read Numbers 3:14 through 24.
Okay, that's Numbers 3:14 to 34.
Numbers 3:14 to 24.
Then the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, number the children of Levi by their father's houses, by their families. You should number every male from a month old and above. So Moses numbered them according to the word of the Lord, as he was commanded. These are the sons of Levi by their name, Gishon, Kohath, and
That's okay. Long story short, they end up getting numbered. Or point to, oh, this isn't on because I don't use it for class. If you can see the board, this is the numbers. Merari was 6,200, Gershon was 7,500, Kohath was 8,600. So numbers one, don't number the Levites. Numbers three, count the Levites. Why? There's a reason. I know the reason, but any of you know why? This is the, this isn't a, I don't mean to sound snarky. Like, you guys should read better. That's not what I mean. But this is the importance of why we study these books and thinking about these things in a way that God tries to present us. Later in Numbers 3, someone read verse 40 through 51. By the way, I didn't know either until I read all this. In this way, so it's okay. I didn't mean to sound nasty. Go ahead, Numbers 3, 40 to 51.
Then the Lord said to Moses, number every firstborn man of the sons of Israel from a month old and upward, and make a list of their names. You shall take the Levite for me. I am the Lord. Instead of all the firstborn among the sons of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites, instead of all the firstborn among the cattle, of the sons of Israel. So Moses numbered all the firstborn among the sons of Israel, just as the Lord had commanded him. And all the firstborn males by the number of names from a month old and upward, for their number were 22,273. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the Levites instead of the firstborn among the sons of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites. The Levites shall be mine. I am the Lord. For the ransom of the 273 of the firstborn of the sons of Israel who are in excess beyond the Levites, you shall take 5 shekels apiece per head. You shall take them in terms of shekel of the sanctuary. The shekel is 20 gerahs. And give the money, the ransom, of those who are in excess among them, to Aaron and his sons. So Moses took the ransom money from those who were in excess beyond the ransom by the Levites. From the firstborn of the sons of Israel, he took the money in terms of the shekel of the sanctuary, 1,365. Then Moses gave the ransom money to Aaron and to his sons at the command of the Lord, just as the Lord had commanded Moses.
One thing I forgot, read also 38 and 39. We're kind of going backwards, but we should have started in 38. That's my fault.
Now those who were to camp before the tabernacle eastward, before the tent of meeting, before the sunrise, are Moses and Aaron and his sons, performing the duties of the sanctuary for the obligation of the sons of Israel. But the layman coming near was to be put to death. All the numbered men of the Levites, whom Moses and Aaron numbered at the command of the Lord. by their families. Every male from a month old and upward were 22,000.
So there's 22,000 Levites, 22,273 of the firstborn. So there's an excess of firstborn. And the Levites were chosen why again?
Service of the tabernacle.
Yeah, the service of the tabernacle. As opposed to who? Who was the original choice of God to serve the tabernacle?
Firstborn.
The firstborn. So there's more firstborn of Israel. I'm sure if we count all those numbers up, we'd do the math. There's more firstborn of Israel than there are Levites. So there's an excess of 273. Well, God took the Levites instead of the firstborn. So what do we do with these firstborns? What does God say? He says, take some money and give it in exchange for the firstborn. This is why they're numbered here in Numbers 3, why the Levites are counted. That's the only reason. Now, I do think, though, if we think about this, who was supposed to serve in the tabernacle originally? Who's supposed to serve Moses? Or not Moses, Aaron.
In the,
right, well, who's supposed to help him in his service?
Kids.
The firstborn. The firstborn of the children of Israel. They were the original ones. But there was an exchange, a ransom, so to speak. But there were too many of the firstborn to make it even. So there was money given instead. There's this word that was used in there. Anyone catch it? Starts with an R.
Redemption.
Ransom or redemption. So what's the idea that we use with Jesus for us?
He's our ransom.
He's our ransom. He's our redeemer.
He was bought with his blood.
We were bought with his blood.
Not us. I mean, we were bought.
Yeah, we were bought.
Jesus' blood.
Yeah, we were purchased. We were paid for. And so this pattern continues. In exchange, why did God originally want the firstborn of Israel? What was their exchange for?
The Egyptians that died.
The firstborn of all the Egyptians that died. So there's this constant reminder, and that so in a way, even though a Levite may not have been a firstborn, he is a firstborn because he's taken the place of the firstborn of Egypt. So how many of you, well actually, none of us are firstborn from the dead, are we? Who's firstborn from the dead?
Christ.
But Hebrews, let's look at it real quick. Hebrews 12. Hebrews keeps coming up. Hebrews 12. Someone read verse 22 and 23. 22 to 24. Just 22 and 23. We're already short on time.
But ye are come unto Mount Sion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect.
This is something that I've shared a few times, that a few of you apparently already knew. And some of you, Karen's not here, I'm an English major. Apparently, even in English, you can get this. Church of the firstborn who are, or which are. That's a plural phrase. In fact, the word firstborn in Greek is grammared, according to the people asked, is a plural. So it's not church of the firstborn, singular. It's church of the firstborn ones, those who are firstborn. So even though we are not firstborn from the dead, because we are God's, we are firstborn. And that's the Levites. Even though they're not the firstborn, they took the place of the firstborn. They are the firstborn. They're the priests. Look where they camp. They're the first around the tabernacle. They were nearest. They were closest. They, aside from the priest, they were the only ones who would go anywhere near the presence of God. But now, again, Hebrews, we can have come boldly to his throne through the veil that is the flesh of Christ. But the point is that The Levites are also firstborn, and we are firstborn. All right, questions, concerns, comments?
Well, you can't fluky with the flow in this thing.
The what?
Flow.
Flow, okay.
Numerical flow.
I'm not going to try and mess with numerical flow. That's math.
I'm not saying you're going to tweak it, but that's the way God set it up.
Yeah.
All the way back to Christ, his death.
Yep. Okay, so here's what we did Sunday. The duties of the Levites, carry the tabernacle and its furnishings. And I did check. Rachel and I were wrong Sunday. The Levites are the ones who carried the ark across the Jordan into the Promised Land. They were also the ones who were supposed to carry the ark when it was when they stumbled. And what's his name? Reached out? Uzzah, when he reached out? The Levites, not the high priest, they were supposed to be carrying the ark. So this is an accurate picture. What?
The comment was made about it being covered.
It was supposed to be covered, yeah. Oh, is that what it was? Oh, I misunderstood. Okay. Thanks for the correction. They had cleanup duties of all the sacrifices. They tore it down. They set it up. They were kind of guard the tabernacle, and they also protected the people from God's wrath by not coming near. That was in a reading we had their numbers. They were judges of the law and judges of the people, keepers of the law and teachers of the law. And when looking at the dedication of the Levites, we talked about how they were supposed to be shaved clean, shaved bald all over. They were washed. They were, had sacrifices. And they were presented as a wave offering. Keep all that in mind as we get into the rest of the study tonight. And let's turn to Ephesians 1. And someone read verses 3 and 4. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to make connections between the Levites of the Old Testament and us. Now, there's a lot of ways we could do this, and I don't remember why I chose these four passages. I remember Ephesians, why I chose them, but I don't remember why the rest of them, so I don't have any insight to help with that. But as we go through, there's going to be some themes that hopefully we can connect to the Levites and to ourselves. So Ephesians 1, verse 3 and 4.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in every with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
So, think about the Levites. Let's just notate some things here first for us as priests. What's here for us?
We're to be holy.
Well, what does it say? That we would be holy, right? So we're would be holy. Good. What else?
He's chosen us.
We are chosen. Okay. What else?
Our spiritual blessing.
Go ahead.
We were given our spiritual blessings.
All spiritual blessings. Zach? He said it? Okay. Spiritual blessings, chosen, would be holy and blameless. Where? Where would we be holy and blameless? Before him. Okay, what's that? Right. So, thinking about, that's a little smaller than I meant it to be. Can you guys see that okay here in the building?
Yeah.
Okay. Thinking about the Levites, do you see some parallels between the Levites and what we just noted from these verses? Mike's nodding yes. What, Mike? What do you see?
I mean, those are all the characteristics that God had for his Levites expected of them.
In what way?
As priests.
But how would they, in what way was holiness for them?
Well, they had to be cleansed, and there was things that they had to do, certain ritual things that they had to go through to you know, be able to prepare sacrifices and other people to do the work that they did.
In order to do any of those things, they'd be cleansed first. Exactly right. And then the same thing with blameless, right?
That's right.
Because even though, I don't remember reading this about Levites in particular, but we know this is about the high priest, but I would assume, I'm assuming now, without knowing a specific verse, that just like the high priest could not have physical defects, neither could a Levite have a physical defect. Zach, I'm hoping you read that somewhere, I just don't remember where.
Yeah, there's, in the Heather's chronological reading, it came up in a recent reading that, and when we looked at it on Sunday, in fact.
Did we?
Yeah.
Okay.
About those with defects, they couldn't serve necessarily in certain ways, but they could eat the food.
Okay. Oh, that's, okay.
The high priest would basically keep for his portion.
Okay.
Just because they had defects doesn't mean they couldn't participate in that form, but they were exempted from doing some of the duties that the priest without defects were called to do.
So let's think about that. So just by nature of being a Levite, they received what? Starts with B.
Blessings.
All blessings just by the nature of being a Levite. If we are Levites, where are our blessings?
Our blessings are in heaven with Christ.
In the heavenly places.
That's right.
Another Greek guy, he didn't tell me this specifically, I heard in a lesson of his, he said that this, the New American Standard, it says heavenly places, and the word places is italicized. He says the best English translation actually should be in the heavenlies. Okay. So our blessings aren't here. Now we see the blessings here in a lot of ways, right? Just by being a congregation, we have blessings of mothers and fathers and aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters. There are blessings here. But where those blessings really exist?
The true blessings in heaven.
In the heavenlies.
Where Christ is.
How do you define in this passage before the foundation of the world? Because I think it gets, my explanation of that is that it gets to the same issue. It's the way that God created everything. Mm-hmm. This idea of holiness, this idea of without sin, this idea of God being in light and not darkness and whatnot, is the way God is. It's what he created. So this idea about before the foundation of the world is this is in God's image. It's the way God wants it to be.
Yeah, and these things didn't happen by accident. The plan of Jesus coming was, here's the plan. We know at some point Adam and Eve are going to sin. So we're going to execute the plan. At some point it's going to happen. Now then there's that theological discussion of how much God knew beforehand. It's irrelevant. God had a plan before the foundations of the world. The plan was executed over the course of thousands of years. And in fact, later on in Ephesians 1, it talks about the fullness of times.
That's right.
These things, all the things that Jesus went through and were prophesied about, only when the fullness of times, when it was the right time for those things to come to pass, did those things come to pass. They're just executing the plan. There were no accidents. And it just baffles me how anybody can read anything in Jesus' teachings and think that the church was just something that he made up on the spot. Well, the Jews rejected Jesus, so they had to come up with some other thing to kind of take his place. He told them at least 3-4 times just in Matthew, I'm going to be taken, I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to raise from the dead. There wasn't an accident. So how you explained it was just as good as anything else. So, and then there was the chosen. Were the Levites just an accident? Or were they chosen?
They were chosen.
They were chosen. Okay. So now let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2. And yeah, I'm kind of rushing through, but these points are simple. But we're going to make a bigger point sort of later. So 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 13 through 15. Someone read those, please.
Beloved by the Lord, as God chose you as
All right, same thing. What? Let's make note of what things apply to us here about us. What did Paul write?
Sanctification.
Sanctification. What about sanctification? That we've been chosen for sanctification. That's what I was trying to get to. Whoops. Oh, I've just ruined it. Okay. Okay, what else? Is it just sanctification, or is there more to that?
More to it with power involved.
Right, and what is that?
By the gospel.
Well, what does he say there?
He says, he called you by our gospel.
I meant after about being sanctified.
By the Spirit?
By the Spirit. Sanctification by the Spirit. And as I understand this, it is not just sanctification by the Spirit, but also sanctification by faith in the truth.
Faith comes by hearing.
Yes.
Hearing by the Word of God.
Is this...
You can't have any connection to God, the Holy Spirit, unless you have Christ and the Holy Spirit.
Right.
They work in unison.
Yes.
They all work together. It's just a beautiful situation.
So this sanctification by faith in the truth, is that something Paul pulled out of nowhere, or is that something we see elsewhere? Someone know it? Jesus is praying.
Oh, yeah.
Sanctify them in the truth, for your word is truth.
Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. This isn't something new. This is something that's coming out. I even suggest that we would see this teaching even in the law of Moses.
Oh, yeah.
So, what else do we see here in this section that would about us? Mike, you had one earlier. I didn't mean to shun you off. It was just not what I was trying to get to at that moment. What was that?
You were asking about the idea about being chosen, and it says in verse 14 that he called you by our gospel. So the method by which we're chosen is through the gospel.
Which is kind of the same thing as saying being sanctified in the truth, isn't it?
No.
So we're kind of talking synonyms here. What else do we see?
Traditions that we were taught. The priests certainly had their traditions and all the steps that they had to follow.
Hold to what you've been taught. Do I want to do that now? No, let's not do that now. Let's remind you to come back to that. Let's finish this from this section, then we'll go through these. What does he say before about holding to what they've been taught? Stand firm.
That's right. That's right.
Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's someplace else. Does someone see anything else? That's kind of where everything I see there. Anyone else?
Well, you know, it also says, my hope is built on nothing less.
No, just here though. That's a song.
No, that's a song. That's
yeah, just here though in 2 Thessalonians 2. Do we see anything else here? That's kind of it. So, what do we see about the Levites there? Were they chosen for sanctification? Yeah, same thing we saw earlier about them being, that they'd be holy and blameless. What about sanctification by the Spirit? Was there a place in that for the Levites? Set apart by the Spirit. Isn't that kind of the same thing? Chosen, sanctified, set apart? God choosing them set them apart, didn't it? But this sanctification now, he's talking about sanctified by the Spirit. Think about the tabernacle and what was there in the tabernacle. In the Holy of Holies, right.
God's mercy seat.
God's mercy. What's there? The cherubim. What's above the cherubim?
Angels.
Presence of God.
Presence of God. In what way?
Descend. Peter. Glowing fire.
A pillar of fire and cloud.
That's right.
And where did the Levites camp again? Right there. They're kind of the boundary between the people and God. Not that God, like God already had those boundaries in the tabernacle itself, but they're kind of there. They're set apart just in how they're camped. What makes them so special? They're the Levites. That's what makes them special. What makes us special? We're God's chosen. That's what makes us special. God chose us. We came to God. We're blessed by God. That's what makes us special. It's nothing we did. We were chosen. We came to God on His terms, just like the Levites did. And what about the sanctification by faith in the truth? Is there some call for the Levites for that? Sanctification by faith in the truth. What does faith mean? You who were in the by faith study yesterday, what does it mean?
Belief.
What's that?
Belief.
Belief, yes, but what else?
Trust.
Trust. Trust. Sanctification by trust in the truth.
That's it.
Do the Levites have to trust God?
All the way.
In what way?
They had to trust God in everything.
But how, John?
Well, everything that they had,
yes,
was provided by God.
Exactly.
They had nothing without Him.
Didn't Jesus say something about us trusting God in the things of this life and being provided for? What did Jesus say about that?
Well, in Matthew 6, he talks about the birds of the air and the lily or the flowers, you
mm-hmm.
know, how everything has what it needs, and doesn't God care much more for us?
Exactly.
Why do we worry?
If God didn't take care of them, how could He not take care of us? There, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things be provided. That's what the Levites did. They focused on God's kingdom and His righteousness, and they were provided for by God through the sacrifices of the people. Called by the gospel. That's kind of the same thing, isn't it? Chosen and then hold to what you've been taught. How would that apply to the Levites? What was one of the jobs of the Levites? To teach the law. In order to teach the law, what did they need to do with the law?
Fulfill.
Understand
it. In order to understand it, they've got to be taught it, right? So they're being taught in order to teach, and they've got to be faithful or firm in what they've been taught so they can teach.
And they should obey it themselves.
Exactly right. So this is what I wanted to, didn't was scared to jump to earlier. Let's go to Malachi chapter 2. If anyone needs a reminder, Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi 2, 1 through 9.
And now, O priest, this command is for you. If you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have already cursed them, because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your offspring, and spread dung on your faces, the dung on your offerings, and you shall be taken away with it. So shall you know that I have sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi may stand, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him. It was a covenant of fear, and he feared me. He stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and no wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. And so I make you despised and abased before all the people, inasmuch as you do not keep my ways, but show partiality in your instruction.
What was the nature of the covenant that God made with the tribe of Levi? What do you say right there?
The covenant would continue.
It would continue? And what was the nature of that continuation? Verse 5. Life and peace. This was the nature of God's covenant with Levi. Life and peace. You were taught, and they did, he says, true in verse 6, true instruction was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness. He turned many back from iniquity. That's not the man Levi, that's the tribe Levi, the priests. They taught the law separately, faithfully. The lips of a priest should preserve knowledge. Men should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord. But you turned aside from my way. You've caused many to stumble by the instruction. You've corrupted the covenant of Levi, etc., etc. They did not stand firm in what they were taught. They corrupted their way. And therefore corrupted others as well. Who are the Levites now again?
We are.
This isn't just a condemnation of the Old Testament Levites. It's a warning to us. Every single one of us. No matter how much you teach, this we need to hold firm to what we've been taught by the Spirit through the Scriptures and be faithful to it. So that when we teach, we are teaching others faithfully and have that covenant of life and peace with our God. All right, questions, concerns, comments? We are quickly running out of time. All right, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's just slow it down. 1 Peter 2, verses 4 through 10. We'll probably get through this. That's okay. Sorry, 1 Peter 2, verses 4 through 10. I know initially I had just two verses, but when I was preparing this, I was like, how can I leave out all these other verses? So 4 through 10.
Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit, and coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. You offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense.
Through 10.
For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy.
We could very easily go on through verse 12, but we'll just stop there. There's already a lot. And there was a lot there that doesn't necessarily relate to the priesthood. So we're going to try not to, like for example, where he says newborn babes, milk of the word, living stones. We're going to ignore all that stuff. Well, no, we can't ignore that one. So think about just the things that would apply to us as priests, as the fulfillment of the tribe of Levi, who served before the tabernacle. John, what do you see?
We're a chosen generation.
Chosen generation. Or race. Good. What else?
He said, once you were not a people, at first they were not the chosen ones to be priests, but then they were the chosen ones to be priests.
Because who was?
The firstborns.
Yeah.
At first, Gentiles weren't chosen to be saved. Well, it didn't seem that way, but first it was the Jews before it was opened up to everyone.
The Levites would have had their firstborn serving the tabernacle, just like every other tribe. So they weren't chosen as a tribe, but then they became that chosen people, that chosen tribe. Good. What else? What else is there?
I think it's easy to see the Levites as a priesthood, because they're one of the tribes that was in the Old Testament set aside that way. I'm not sure that as Christians we often see ourselves collectively as a priesthood.
Mm-mm.
Because individual Christians in this context are being built up into a holy priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a priesthood in the sense that the Levites were a chosen people. It's a really fascinating concept, actually.
Good. Priesthood. Not just a priest. Not just a priest. That there's multiples makes us a priesthood. Good. What else? By the way, there's another one kind of related to that. Carol?
God's special possession.
Special possession. Good. I think I spelled that wrong. I don't care. What else?
A holy nation.
Yeah. What's... Yes and no, because Israel as a whole is a nation, but we are a nation, so I'll put it there. That's fine. What else is there? I'm running out of room. What about the spiritual house for that holy priesthood? Each tribe was a tribe, but they were also sometimes called the house. The house of Levi. The house of Judah. The house of so-and-so. We are a spiritual house. Which, I'm going to put it up here just because to save some room. Whoops. Man. It's hard to... By the way, what kind of priesthood was it? I just noticed that.
Royal or holy.
Well, actually, royal and holy, right?
Right. Sanctified by God.
Yep.
For holy use.
So we're Zach's about to do the buzzer, or David is. Where am I? There it is. So we're out of time. So we'll come back to this on Sunday. That's okay. We'll come back to this on Sunday. Finish this. And then let me go ahead and pull this up, because we'll get to this on Sunday. This won't take us much time at all. In the material that I gave out, there was this link to the apostles in the Levites. Why don't you go back through these passages in Numbers and Deuteronomy and see if you can see the apostles. I do. So hopefully you can too. So we'll talk about that. Hopefully we'll finish all that on Sunday.